Good morning, everyone. Can you hear me? Good. Good. I'm glad. Good morning, Phil. I'm glad that we're all here. Barb made it in the room. Welcome to Awakening Together's Sunday morning gathering. What we'll do, good morning, Sonia. What we'll do first thing here is we're going to hear another short song. Lynn has agreed to select and play the music for us this morning, and she's so wonderful at that, and I appreciate it, Lynn. Thank you so much. Lynn will play a short song, and we will take this opportunity to virtually turn to our neighbors and say good morning. You might want to tell us where you're from, what the weather's like, tell us whatever's on your heart this morning. So I'll give the mic back up so we can greet one another.
Mic back to you, beautiful friend Jacqueline.
Thank you, Lynn. Okay, so we'll begin our program. Good morning, Doug. We're going to begin our program this morning by doing what we traditionally do, and that is to look at our statement of purpose and at least one of our core values. Reading from our purpose and values page, there's a consistent wisdom in the universe. It shows up in all religions, in philosophy, in all cultures, and throughout time. This wisdom is not unique or new. It is owned by no one and by no organization. No one has to go to a special place or special teacher to find it. It's the most abundant wisdom in the universe. Once one opens his or her heart to this wisdom, it appears everywhere by the hand of universal grace. There's also a way of not seeing universal wisdom. We all have the ability to be distracted from it by self-limiting and segmenting beliefs. Our purpose, we are an assembly of equals joined in common purpose, awakening to one true self within an appearance of many faiths, many cultures, and many symbols. We seek to discern one truth and to rest in its embrace. Thanks, Barb, for posting. And then the core value, we are, as ministers leading this gathering, we're to select a core value that best represents our message. And the one that I have selected, well, actually, I really I say that, and here I just can't read it because I've really got two. So let me read two of them to you. The first one is core value number 3. We accept one true self, which is one presence or being, non-dual, without beginning or end, and absolutely changeless. We live this value by practicing letting go of the belief in the individual self as who we are. And then core value number 5. We accept all forms as temporary appearances permitted through enduring awareness of self. Temporary appearances permitted through enduring awareness of self. We live this value by honoring all appearances and all experiences while continually reflecting on changeless truth. Pardon me. Thank you, Barb, for posting those. Okay, so next on our agenda here this morning, is our announcements. I want to remind you that we are in the middle of our trustee elections. Each summer, we have elections to nominate and elect members to the Member Board of Trustees. Of course, the purpose of the Member Board of Trustees is to manage the Assembly's day-to-day affairs in accordance with Awakening Together's purpose and values. We draft the policies and procedures for Awakening Together. We plan the retreats and pilgrimages. We maintain Awakening Together's website. We oversee all Awakening Together subcommittees, including the Sanctuary Administration Subcommittee, the Scholarship Subcommittee, and the Benevolence Subcommittee. The Member Board of Trustees is chaired by the President Minister, Regina Dawn Akers, or in her absence, the Vice President Minister, which is me. We have a minimum of 5 and a maximum of 12 trustees. Currently, we meet on the first and third Monday of each month at 7:30 p.m. for 90 minutes. And again, this year we're electing 3 new members, one to replace David Hemphill, and then 2 new trustees are being added to the trustee board this year. The nominations have closed, and the Member Board of Trustees will be meeting tomorrow, in fact, to discuss further nominations for the new members of the Member Board of Trustees. And then we will be sending out ballots. The ballots will be sent out beginning on June 20th. And the election process will continue until July the 6th. Basically, we'll send you a ballot with 3 nominees, with the nominees to the board, and you guys will, as members, will have an opportunity to vote for those nominees, and of course, the nominees with the most votes will be elected to the board. We'll have a special meeting on June the 28th to meet the nominees, and then once the nominees are chosen, then we will we'll be announcing those folks. We'll also be sending out photos and bios from each of the nominees. Okay, next up is the Retreat Center campaign. We've currently raised nearly $22,000 We, as you all are probably aware, Regina had a vision that we should have a retreat center, that retreat center should be near Pueblo, Colorado. We are really, at this point, trusting the universe to provide. We are basically holding the vision of the retreat center in our hearts and asking that that retreat center come in the way, in the place, and at the time when it's most helpful to all. And if you're, you can look at the types of places we're considering. You can go to our web site and look at Watch Pueblo Properties page to just get a sense of what we're looking at. Barb has put up the donation link so that if you wish to participate in this vision in that way, you can donate there. Okay, another announcement. Awakening Together t-shirts are available at $20 a piece. The t-shirts come in a variety of colors and sizes. They're a lot of fun. And, yeah, and I'm going to talk about that retreat in a minute. Let me finish up with the t-shirts. And, they're a fun way to talk about what's going on with Awakening Together. You know, you've got the t-shirt on, somebody's like, what's that? And there you go. And an opportunity to talk about what we're doing, our mission, and what fun it is to be here. And then the final thing that I want to talk about is the fall retreat. Thanks. Dove's wearing his t-shirt today. Yay! And thanks, Barb, for putting up. Barb's put up the link to the shopping cart where you can get your t-shirt. And then the final thing that I want to talk about in our announcements today is the fall retreat. We have a fall retreat in Colorado Springs at the Franciscan Retreat Center. It consists of basically three different people, beginning with one weekend and then a week long and then another weekend. The weekend begins with Jan Frazier, a weekend being with Jan Frazier. And then we have, and that's October the 30th through November the 1st. We have a week within with Regina Dawn Akers that begins on November the 1st and ends November the 6th. And then we have a weekend beyond with Bentinho Massaro that begins November the 6th and ends November the 8th. You can attend one, two, or all three retreats. Information about the very reasonable prices is available there online at the link that Barb has posted. Once again, you can do. We have single rates, shared rates, commuter rates, Saturday-only rates. So just consider joining us. I think it's just going to be really rewarding. The retreat center is just gorgeous, nestled at the foot of the mountains there in Colorado Springs. So consider joining us for that. Okay, so let me see where I am in my service. All right. And I am going to pass this mic back to Lynn, and who will play us another song so that we can settle in for the message. Okay. Back to you, Lynn.
You know what I mean. Have your eyes really seen? You say it's very hard to leave behind the life we knew. But there's no other way, and now it's really up to you. Love is the key we must turn. Truth is the flame we must burn. Freedom, the lesson we must learn. You know what I mean. Have your eyes really seen?
Wow, that was beautiful. Thank you so much, Lynn. And at this point, I'd like to offer a prayer. And it's the same prayer that I always have. And that is the prayer that Jacqueline get out of the way. That we all hear what we need to hear. See what we need to see. Amen. You know, I prepare for these talks. You know, Regina says she spends. Regina's style, of course, is to pick the reading and what did she tell me? She picks the reading and maybe the topic in general, and then just allows it to come through. On Sunday morning. Now, folks, that's trust. And I've spent a little bit more time preparing, but I really don't want to be bound to a script. I don't want to be bound to what I've prepared. So I really, when I pray that prayer, it's a heartfelt prayer that I allow the truth to come through and not to be weighed down by what I think ought to happen this morning. Okay. I have picked reading, and Barb has agreed to Barb Durwater, who's also our admin this morning. Barb has agreed to read that to us this morning, so I am going to let go of the mic for Barb. Thank you, Barb.
Okay, now you should be able to hear me. It was on stereo mix, yeah. Sorry about that, guys. Okay, so the reading, we have two readings this morning that Jacqueline has asked me to read, and one of them is from, I think it's 1 Corinthians, I think that's right, and this is from the King James Version, and she's given me liberty to change the way some of the words are said so that it makes it more clear. Yeah, 1 Corinthians chapter 13, and King James Bible Version, and what I have here to start out with is, as a heading is love. Love. Though I speak with the tongues of men and of angels, and have not charity, I am becoming a sounding brass or a tinkling cymbal. And though I have the gift of prophecy and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and though I have all faith so that I could remove mountains and have not charity, I am nothing. And though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, and though I give my body to be burned and have not charity, it profits me nothing. Charity suffers long and isn't kind. Charity envies not. Charity vaunts not itself, is not puffed up, does not behave itself unseemly, seeks not her own, is not easily provoked, thinks no evil, rejoices not in iniquity, but rejoices in the truth, bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. Charity never fails, but whether there be prophecies, they shall fail. Whether there be tongues, they shall cease. Whether there be knowledge, it shall vanish away. For we know in part, and we prophesy in part. Should I say, and we prophesy in part, sorry. But when that which is perfect is come, then that which is in part shall be done away. Let me read that again. But when that which is perfect is come, then that which is in part shall be done away. When I was a child, I spake as a child. I understood as a child. I thought as a child. But when I became a man, I put away childish things. For now we see through a glass darkly, but then face to face. Now I know in part, but then shall I know even as also I am known. And now abides faith, hope, charity. These three, but the greatest of these is charity. That's the end of the reading from 1 Corinthians. And she's also asked me to read from Brent Haskell's book, The Other Voice. So I'm going to read that now. It's a little bit longer. And it was, I had a privilege of meeting Brent Haskell last year at the Choose Again retreat, so I'm very grateful to have met him. It goes like this. I have spoken of the ego so many times. And what I tell you now is most important. In the absence of the special relationship, the ego does not and cannot exist. For the ego is the set of beliefs you have in space and time about who you are. And in order to discern, to imagine who you are, you look outside yourself for some cause that shall define yourself for you. And in so doing, you believe in separation itself. Have you ever wondered, what does it require that one look outside one's self in order to discover who he is? What it requires is the belief that you are not whole, that you are incomplete, and that you are not one, with a capital O, one. Not one with what? That you are not one with all of life, with your brothers, and above all, with God. So if you would define who you are, which is to make the ego, which is to seem to make yourself, if you would do that, you must first believe that you are not whole, that you are incomplete. Only then can you look outside yourself. Ah, but what is outside yourself? The answer is nothing. It is a truth of the universe that nothing exists outside of yourself. That's big S self. For yourself is all that is. Just as God, with whom you are one, is likewise all that is. And so if you would look outside yourself, what must you do since there is nothing more? Excuse me, there is nothing there. You must project that which you would choose to see, and then, in your perception, you see it, of course. So as you look at your brother, you do not see your brother at all. What you see is what you have projected, what you have desired that your brother be for you. And if you, in your time, can release your brother from needing him to provide you with the image of what you see, what you are, let me say that again. And if you, in your time, can release your brother from needing him to provide you with the image of what you are, then you, in truth, have set him free. You set him free of the past. But above all, you set yourself free of your past. For it is only in the past, as I have told you, that you are able at all to define yourself as a separate being with the separate needs which you wish to have met. And without the past, such definition is not present and cannot be. So if you would enter the holy instant, what do? You offer your special relationships to the Holy Spirit, who will see them for you in a different light. For you, ego, look upon relationships, always to say, what can I get? What can I receive? Am I going to get and receive that which I desire? But if you will look upon relationships from the viewpoint of the Holy Spirit, if you will enter the holy instant with Him, you will suddenly find yourself saying, in relationship, what can I give? And as you find yourself saying, what can I give, without concern for what you shall get, you will realize that the only way you can focus entirely upon what you shall give is to realize that you are indeed complete and whole in the first place. And that, in simple statement, is what the Holy Spirit would teach you. Would teach you about love, about your brother, about these holy instants of which we speak, about the truth and the laws of God. So if you can enter the holy instant with the Holy Spirit, which you do by letting go of all demands, you would place upon your brother, realizing that the only demand that you can place upon him is that he provide for you the image you wish to see of who you are. If you would let go of that and enter the holy instant, you will discover there love and peace and truth, the truth of God. And as you discover that truth, you shall become filled with the awareness that there is nothing you need, that there is nothing to receive that you do not already have, that there is nothing out there which can, in any sense, make you what you are. Or beyond that, that there is nothing out there which can, in any sense, or in any way, change the truth of what you are. For that which you are cannot be contained, cannot be limited, and seeks only to express its creative power through extension, which you could call giving, if you will. And as you free yourself of form and the belief in which and the belief in that which would cause you to exist as form, as a body, as you free yourself of that, you shall find yourself in the holy instant. And there you shall find yourself without effort, desiring only to extend the love of God, the peace of God. and you shall find yourself experiencing the joy of God, which always comes from extending that self-same love, which all along has been and remains exactly what you are. That's the end of the reading. Thank you for joining me here, and I'm going to turn the mic back to Jacqueline. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Barb, for reading. I think it's a really, really powerful message in both of those readings. And there's there's some themes there. I'm sure that you caught them. I'm sure you all heard them as Barb read them. Some things that I want to go over this morning. The idea of the perceptual loop. You know, I see what I project out there, of course. The idea that my sole responsibility is to accept the atonement for myself. I'm finding more and more that that means just extending the love of God. Yeah, my mind just got into this, and so out. I had a third thought, and out it went. So out it goes. So let's look at this. What I want to tell you is that I'm so blessed to have the opportunity to share with you guys. All happens perfectly for our healing. That's exactly. Thank you, Dad. That's exactly what I want to say, because that's what I'm doing here this morning. I'm sharing with you my journey. And it's almost in real time. Thanks, Barb. It's almost in real time, folks. This whole concept of this talk, Charity Begins at Home, began for me with a general sense, frankly, of being disappointed in myself, being disappointed in others. And what I found myself doing was looking out and seeing others as lacking, seeing others as failing me in some way, and feeling failed by others. I found myself in contempt of others. It's like, what is wrong with you people? You people think that this is what life is about? You know, this selfish behavior, this consumerism, this nastiness, this, you know, even traffic, cutting me off in traffic. And this is what you guys think life is about? And really, really feeling contempt for people around me. It didn't feel arrogance. It didn't feel like I'm going, well, look how wonderful I am and how awful you guys are. It felt more like a loss of hope. Really disappointment in humankind, you know? What I saw as I began to put this talk together was what I was really experiencing was a very subtle expectation that at this point, I should be seeing more evidence of oneness in the world around me, and what I saw coming back to me from other people. So this my expectations and my disappointment were wrapped up in not just what I saw from other people. There was a really subtle self-contempt going on there. So here's the whole idea of if charity begins at home. I had received very clearly, you know, in a kind of revelatory fashion, very clearly in the past, this idea that contempt and charity were opposites. You know, they both represent a general attitude toward people, towards life. You know, you're either treating people and events with charity, or you're treating them with contempt. and I could see that I was experiencing that in the situations that I seemed to be encountering. You know, you know, it's so funny how everything is outpictured. See, what I see, I experience, and what I experience, I think. And so what we do is we always look out from within. And it's what we see within ourselves, what we experience within ourselves that we project onto the world. And if I'm experiencing a lack, it's not a lack, it's not from outside in, it's not a lack that the world has imposed on me. It's a lack from within, a perceived lack from within that I've projected onto the world, and the world will gladly play that lack out for me. And, you know, again, it's like I'm always carried. I'm always getting what I need. We reviewed the idea of the perceptual loop and these ideas in this week's True Discernment class. That I taught on Saturday morning. Of course, you know, I'm always teaching myself. I'm always provided with the truth that I need to see. And that was certainly true this week. So, yeah, love is spirit, giving to spirit that which spirit requests. So, pardon me. As I look around me and I ask, what's wrong with you people? Why are you so self-centered? Why are you so engrossed in these self-aggrandizing activities? I'm also reminded, I'm hearing this passage from A Course in Miracles that says, only what you have not given can be lacking in any situation. So I realize that as I look out on others, I am failing to supply what is lacking in the situation. I'm the one that's failing to bring to the situation the love, the charity. And I'm shaking my fist, you know, at the heavens going, why aren't you, you know, why can't I get what I need? And I also, as I'm contemplating these issues, I'm reminded of an article that I read quite some time ago that had a real impact on me. It's I posted it on Facebook earlier this week. It's an article about Nirmala called Love is Forgiving. And that article talks about how love comes from the inside. You know, we think that that we feel loved when someone is giving us love. But the truth is, It works the other way. And, you know, in this article, Nirmala talks about the fact that the best example of that is unrequited love. You know, the person who's loving someone else is filled with that love, is consumed by that love, whether or not that love is coming back. You know, and I've had that experience. I remember the first time I read that article, this point was given me, and this has been several years ago. Tom and I were apart. And so I'm sitting there in my morning contemplation, and I'm just overwhelmed with love. And then I think, oh, Tom, but I got it. You know, usually I would think, oh, Tom, you know, and think that the love was coming from him, was coming from the fact that I was in relationship with him. You know, and this was early on in the relationship, and you know how those feelings just feel overwhelming at the beginning of the relationship, and not that I don't still feel that way for Tom, but you know how it's just all consuming. But I realized at that moment that the love that I felt came first. And then the thought of Tom was present. And my normal thought process was to assign that love that I felt to Tom, to this new relationship with Tom. But then it actually came the other way. The love comes from within me first. So all these things were given me in answer to, oh my God, this is where I find myself. I find myself in contempt of my brothers. I find myself, and I didn't want to be there. Nobody wants to be there. But, you know, I find myself in this miasma of stickiness, right? And I see all these things coming together for me. And I really remembered, and I understood the connection between things. And it really hit home that the way to health, the way to completeness, the way to the joy and the peace of God is in the giving. And that what's required of me is that I give, that I extend that which I am, that I do what love does. And that's to give without any concern for what's coming back to me. That's to give without concern for what I should get. The joy of giving, the extension of love, begins with me. And it's by giving that I find that I had it all to begin, that I was complete to begin. And to understand that, I simply have to give it away. To find it again, I give it away. And Jay, I don't know what that means. I don't know what that means. Turn your mixed volume down. I just don't know. Can you guys not hear me? How are we doing with volume? Can anybody hear me? Okay, good. Thank you. Oh, I lost my noise. Okay, thanks. It's probably because I got my computer on my lap and I'm into this, so I'm excited and I'm moving around. Sorry about that. So let's look again at and maybe I can turn this thing down. Let me do that. Again, at a portion of this reading that the Barb read from Bryn Haskell's book, The Other Voice. So if you would enter the holy instant, what do? You offer your special relationships. And by the way, any relationship that is not a holy relationship is a special relationship. So if you would enter the holy instant, what do? You offer your special relationships to the Holy Spirit, who will see them for you in a different light. For you, ego, look upon relationships always to say, what can I get? What can I receive? Am I going to get and receive that which I desire? But if you will look upon relationships from the viewpoint of the Holy Spirit, if you will enter the holy instant with Him, you will suddenly find yourself saying, in relationship, what can I give? What can I give? And as you find yourself saying, what can I give, without concern for what you shall get, you will realize that the only way you can focus entirely upon what you shall give is to realize that you are indeed complete and whole in the first place, And in that simple statement is what the Holy Spirit would teach you. And that, in simple statement, is what the Holy Spirit would teach you. Would teach you about love, about your brother, about these holy instances of which we speak, about the truth and the laws of God. And you know, my practice in my ACIM class that I'm teaching at Unity is to give the students homework for the week. And that's the homework for the week. So instead of, in every situation, in every relationship, instead of asking, what can I get, remember to ask, what can I give to this person? What can I give in this situation? And that's the practice. That's the practice here that I'm talking about this morning. And that's the practice that enables me to realize that I am indeed in the first place. So let's go. Let's wrap this up by looking again at the readings from 1 Corinthians 13. You know, we usually hear that in weddings, and usually it's used with love. It's my understanding that the better translation is use of the word charity. But I like the idea that this is the ideal of love. Not the love that we egos think of as love. You know, the idea that I need your love to complete me. You know, that Jerry Maguire movie that was so popular. I think it was from that movie that this was the ideal of love when she said, you complete me. Well, you know, that is the ego's idea of love, that I need someone else to complete me rather than the knowledge that I am complete, and that it's from that completeness that I extend love to others. So the idea of love, of charity, that it's expressed in 1 Corinthians 13 is selfless as opposed to a selfish compulsion. Let me see if I can find that. By the way, you guys are still here, right? I'm not sitting here talking to myself, am I? Okay, good. I just hadn't seen any activity. I just want to make sure you're still here. Good. Okay, again. So let's look at this again. Charity is patient. It's kind. It doesn't envy or boast. It rejoices in the truth. It bears all things. It believes all things. It hopes all things. It allows all things. And then this last part is just, it's beautiful. Charity never fails. But where there be prophecies, they shall fail. Where there be tongues, they shall cease. Where there be knowledge, it shall vanish away. For we know in part and prophesy in part. But when that which is perfect is come, then that which is in part shall be done away. You know, and that's what we're talking about. That's this completeness, this wholeness that we're talking about. When I realize my completeness, then this partial charity, this love that I'm getting, this selfish love that I'm only giving when I'm getting it, that shall be done away with. When I was a child, I spake as a child. I understood as a child. I thought as a child. But when I became a man, I put away childish things. For now we see through a glass darkly, but then face to face. Now I know in part, but then I shall know even as also I am known. I am known in my completeness. And now abide faith, hope, charity, these three, but the greatest of these is charity. I really think that this verse makes it so clear that charity is giving. That if we understand our wholeness, our completeness, we give completely from that place. And I believe that this verse says it's time to quit looking out from my perceived limitations and expect to be given something. That's how a child sees. It's time to see as a grown-up. It's time to take responsibility for sight and to look out for my holiness or my wholeness to your holiness, to your wholeness. That's what it means to say the charity begins at home. Okay. So, that's what I have to share this morning. At this point in our service, we will, Lynn has picked a song for us. We're going to take a few minutes in silence and contemplation, and then we will have an opportunity to share anything that's come up for us as a result of the readings, the discussion, or our contemplation, and or our contemplation afterwards. In the meantime, we'll also have the opportunity to make a donation to Awakening Together. Barb will post that link for us. And remember, it is a charitable organization, and which Awakening Together runs on your donation. So thank you for considering making a donation this morning. I'll give up the mic.
If I could tell the world just one thing, it would be that we're all okay. And not to worry, cause worry is wasteful and useless in times like these. I won't be made useless, won't be idle with despair. I'll gather myself around my fate, light the darkness most fear.
Okay, thank you. Thank you for the lovely messages and the lovely music. Let's see where we are. Okay, this is our opportunity to share anything that came up for us. Does anyone want to take the mic and share what came up for them during the talk? Okay, Lynn, take the mic.
Wow, thank you so much for this beautiful topic and the beautiful sharing that everyone has done. It just honestly just reminds me, all these things are here to remind me of what I'm here for and what we're doing here in this crazy world, and being able to look at a brother that we think has, you know, done something egregious to us, you know, cut us off in traffic or, coughed on us when they had a cold. You know, there's so many things that we look at our brothers and we think that, you know, they've done something to me or they're not, somehow or the other, my charity is not for them. And I think it's beautiful the way that today, Jacqueline, that it really is the only thing we can do for ourselves and our brothers and our world and for God is to just be open in our hearts. And yes, you know, giving and receiving are the same. So thank you, Jacqueline. Beautiful, beautiful message and beautiful service today. And I will let go of the mic, and hopefully someone else would like to speak as well.
Thank you, Lynn. Yeah, I appreciate it. So I appreciate your participation. You're always there for me. And we had a lovely talk on the phone yesterday or the day before. And I appreciate the opportunity that the participating in this organization in this way gives me to connect with you folks, just the opportunity to be here and share my journey, you know, for whatever it's worth, to share my journey. And I really appreciate the opportunity to do that. I'd love to hear from someone else if you want to share. If you don't like what I said, and I see at least one person who didn't like what I said, you know, have at it. Take the mic. We'll hear it all. I do think, so I'm going to speak to that. So I see Roy. I don't know Roy. I see Roy telling me that I asked for too much and didn't give enough.
Hey, Jacqueline, you dropped the mic, and I don't think that Roy was saying that, but I think he was talking about something entirely different, because I know Roy. But anyway, yeah, go ahead, Iris.
Good morning, this is Iris from London. Good morning, everyone. Can you hear me? I just have been here for a couple of hours, and I've really enjoyed everything that is being shared. And I really loved your message, Jacqueline. I've been thinking a lot about all the special relationships I have. Almost every relationship that I have, be it with another person or with my work or with myself, could be with food, could be with anything. It's all of them, they strike me as being special relationships. And your message about being in a relationship with anyone and being there to give is something I'm going to remember. I'll try to remember this. I think that was what really occurred to me, and I just wanted to share this. So thank you. Bye.
Thank you. Thank you so much, Iris, for sharing. Yeah, they're all special relationships or holy relationships. Your choice, just like everything else, right? And I do want to speak to the comment that I made earlier. As I said to you guys, I am you're getting this in real time, and so I teach what I would learn. And you know, all these beautiful messages on the board, and my attention went to a message that seemed less than charitable. So I'm working on it. I am really working at being gentle with myself, and really, you know, it's like we know this stuff. We know the stuff. We know this stuff. I have to look from my completeness to yours. And I'm doing it. And I'm doing it in real time. And I extend to each and every one of you all the love that I know is within me to give to you. And I appreciate the opportunity to do so. Yeah. I get it. I get the message. I've got to live it. I've got to practice it again and again and again. And, I appreciate you also, your love and your patience while I do that. So, you guys are sweet. Okay, so, anybody else have anything that they would like to share? Before we exit here and go to our closing song, listen, I am so grateful to you guys. Thank you, thank you, thank you. Thank you for letting me share. Thank you for being on this journey with me. And make no mistake, you are my mighty companions on this journey with me. Thank you. Okay, guys, we'll have the closing song or chant. Of course, afterwards we have fellowship for an hour. Feel free to stick around to share whatever is on your heart or minds at that time. Okay, I love you guys. Thank you again.